So many of us want to work in a remote environment, yet there's a parade of companies mandating that we show up in the office, but is that really necessary? Can you develop an effective remote policy? It's all coming up now. And here we are on the HR Hub podcast with me, Andrea Adams. Keep listening to learn about this and anything related to HR. You can also find me on YouTube. So today my guest is Colleen Clarkson. Colleen is the Chief Operations Officer for BlendMe. They help hybrid and remote teams with their people operations, which I'm going to get him to explain in a minute. I found Colleen through a super fancy AI-informed search on the internet, and it said he was an expert. And when we had our introductory conversation for this one, I discovered that he indeed is an expert. Hi, Colleen. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thank you so much for having me on, Andrea. Andrea.
That is my name, Andrea.
Okay. I gotta redo it.
Do you? Can I just keep that part?
Yeah, you can keep it. Okay. Andrea. Bonjour. Yeah. Mademoiselle. Comment allez-vous?
Are you practicing your French today? I did take French immersion, but it has been a while.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate
no
it.
Problem. Before I hit record, you were saying people don't know what people operations is. So you help remote and hybrid teams with people operations. What do you mean?
Okay. So to simplify it, it means human resources. I mean, let's just say that. Now, Laszlo Bock, the famous HR person from Google, is the one that kind of coined that phrase when he took over the job. And, you know, audience, fact check us. I want to say it was in the 2010s, roughly, where he took over that role at Google and realized that HR had kind of a negative, let's say, reputation, the place where you send the bad people and they do your paperwork and they write you up and they do your benefits.
We are the fun police. We're the fun police.
Yes, thank you. That's a much better term. We're the fun police. They're so lame. Everyone in HR is so lame. Amy, you know, Karen in HR. I mean, you heard that, like Karen in HR. It was like,
right.
Then they started mixing Karen and Karen in HR. It was like a mixture. And, you know, I think what Laszlo did is when he took that job, he realized that strategic decisions around people take a lot of data and a lot of precision that any other strategy. So, you know, HR is fine too, but I just feel like people operations is a little bit more modern and more inclusive to data-driven decisions around the operations.
So, Colleen, though, we're going to talk about how remote work policy fits into effective people operations. So what are the elements of a remote work policy?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for organizations is that a lot of them don't have the policy even today. It's crazy to think about even, you know, potentially 4 years later, you know, there's no policy on what remote work is.
Are you saying that organizations who have remote workers don't have a policy to just provide some insight on how to do that?
That's correct. You'd be amazed at how many organizations have not outlined it, have not defined it. And so here are some of the key elements that we think can really have an impact on the success, because I think that's the biggest challenge. Earlier, we were talking about like what is people operations and like why does that term exist? You have people and then you have operations. So it's a mixture of those two things. And in order, remote work is all about those two things. It's all about the manager as a person. It's all about the individual contributor as a person. And then how do they operate in ensuring that everybody is on the same page? So the success or failures of whether you're doing remote or hybrid even, a lot of it comes down to what you've done from an operational perspective and how you've outlined your expectations. So I think a lot of times right now you're having managers have a certain expectation individual contributors, they have an expectation. And then the VPs and people higher up have a different expectation because everything isn't really documented and put down in one place. So it's amazing to see the companies that are really, really succeeding in remote work have really great policies because they thought through the things that need to be implemented in order for everybody to be on the same page. So what are some of those elements?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the organizational philosophy on, like, how does that organization, why are you doing remote work? Like, don't just tell me remote work is this, but why as an organization? What's the organization's philosophy? Is it a situation that we decided after the pandemic that the flexibility is making our employees happier, so now we're going to implement this? Is it a situation of the world has changed, or maybe you were remote prior to the pandemic? We've always had a flexible policy. What is the organization's true philosophy on workplace flexibility and remote work? And write it and define it. That is really, really, really important. Because people want to know, where is the root of this definition or this vehicle for workplace flexibility? Where is it coming from? Because if it's not true, people will see through that. So the first thing, organizational philosophy on remote work, the reasons why you're working remotely, how you define what remote work is, that is really important to start off because everybody has a different expectation, especially if you're doing hybrid. If you're doing a hybrid, you need to be even more specific because nobody has a definition of what hybrid is. And, you know, some people say one time a week working remotely is hybrid. In my opinion, it is not hybrid working remotely once a week. That is not hybrid in my opinion. Number two, role flexibility categories. So if you are a warehouse worker, how do you categorize that role? So we advise our clients to come up with these different flexible categories, define what those flexible categories are, and apply those tags to different roles. So for example, back to the warehouse worker, a role flexible category that we like to use are on-site, which is a position that's required to work in person on-site at an office. We also use fully remote. Those are roles that are allowed to work from wherever. And then hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
Define the number of days in office in that role category. So for example, If you're a hybrid, you're saying, okay, this role is a hybrid role. Hybrid roles are required to report to the office two times a week or once a quarter or whatever it is. So now, just think about this from an employee. If I were to be a warehouse worker, what are my expectations for going into the office? Oh, okay, warehouse workers considered on-site. Oh, this is the definition of what on-site means. Okay. We are now all on an equal level playing field. I'm a warehouse worker, but I want to be fully remote. I don't want to go into the warehouse anymore. I want to try to progress and move on to something else. Oh, I know this is a great customer service role, which is fully remote.
Mm.
Fully remote means I can live from anywhere. So again, role flexibility categories is another element. Number three would be in-office meetings/schedule. What are your expectations for the types of meetings that are required for people to attend? So to hold an in-office meeting, what does that look like? You have an in-office meeting when you need A, B, C, D, and E. So we'll have an in-office meeting when we need multiple teams maybe to come together at one time. Maybe we will do in-office meetings when we're doing a retreat, you know, a strategic thinking thing. What are the schedule of meetings going to be like? I think that's a really big piece too, because when you do remote work and you research on remote work, we just fill our calendars with more and more meetings. So are you going to have, you know, a no meeting Wednesday? Are you going to have, you know, meetings with cameras off and cameras on? When do you have a meeting with a camera on? When do you have a meeting with a camera off? So put that in your policy. Number four, we're almost there. I only have six. Meeting etiquette. I think this is another piece. What are your expectations for virtual meetings, right? Like, what are they? Like, do you need a backdrop if you are in a one-bedroom apartment? Are virtual backgrounds okay? We prefer not to use virtual backgrounds because there's, you know,
your hands disappear and weird things
like
that.
Right, right, right. Yeah, yeah. So we say no virtual backgrounds, use a backdrop, right? Like, so you need to have some sort of etiquette for how you're going to meet when you have those meetings. Number five would be a designated workspace. This is a big piece that a lot of people miss. Every employee needs to have an approved designated workspace, and it should be on file. Shout out to this company called Ramplane, which I'm an advisor of. They came up with this product for you to be able to have your employees upload a picture of their designated workspace at home, a designated office. Because as an employer, you're still liable if somebody were to get hurt at their home office.
Right?
When you are working remote, we're not talking about when you travel. I mean, that's completely, you know, when you travel, like we've been doing that forever, like hotel rooms and you're traveling to a co-working spot, you're getting a coffee, that's completely different. But for the most part, your designated workspace, that is where you're getting your work done. And like having pictures of that on file as a company is really, really important, because now you can say, hey, look, we see all those cables on the floor. That's not going to be allowed. And then the last thing, hours of operations and response expectations. So what happens is when we're using Slack or Teams and we have these chats, there are no rules around how quickly I'm supposed to respond. When am I supposed to use this specific tool? And what are kind of the hours of operations that you want me to be available? I think if you add these different elements, that covers some of the worries or some of the inadequacies that leadership or managers may be questioning.
Hey there, leaders who may be listening. Andrea here. Besides being a podcaster, I'm also an HR consultant. If you find HR issues are taking up too much of your time or you have a sticky problem, I could help. In my consulting, I work one-on-one with businesses to solve their HR challenges in a way that's straightforward and effective. And while we work on those challenges, we also are creating a strong HR foundation for your business that supports growth and success. So if that's you, reach out through my website for a consultation and let's create a plan that fits your company's needs. And now back to the show. Do you have any tips around appropriate remote work meeting etiquette?
Yeah. I think number one is you must have headphones. I think headphones are absolutely a requirement because there's a lot of noise space that you don't realize, especially if you are in a room with another person. Like if you're, you know, in a co-working spot or you're somewhere else.
Yeah. And God forbid my dog should see the Amazon truck. Oh no, you know.
Yeah. I would say headphones are a must. We're to the point where I think everybody knows that they should probably have a microphone or, you know, AirPods with the microphone in them, I think is fine. The other thing on remote work etiquette that I would consider is allow 5-minute buffer time. Like don't start the meeting and don't start emailing and messaging people if they're 1 minute late. Like There's this 5-minute buffer time before you send an email. Are you joining the meeting? Like just settle down.
Uh-huh.
Like we're getting started. Enjoy that time to like get yourself refreshed.
Well, and enjoy the time to connect with the people who do show up.
Yeah. Right? You don't have to start the meeting right away. So 5 minutes. And then what's another one of my favorites? Oh, another one of my favorites is, look, if you're going to be business up top, party down bottom, I think it's fine. Okay. It's perfect.
Right.
You know, I'm wearing
my,
I can't leave my leg up there all the time.
Yes.
Java pants. Listen, if you're going to do that, don't be standing up. Like, you know what I mean? You don't need to stand up and like, you know, just have more awareness of your surroundings.
Yeah.
As you're doing remote stuff. So
you know, like you probably shouldn't be doing it in your underwear, just in case you do need to stand up and you could be visible. Ensure no
one. Has it happened? I admit, I've done multiple podcasts in just my undies. So.
Really? You're braver than I am. I am not taking that chance. Or I am, you know. wearing yoga
pants. Hey, I'm still professional. Don't judge me, people. I see you out there judging me. My pants are on today.
Your pajamas are on today, it looks like. You've talked about accountability already a bit, but can you delve into that a little bit more? Like, how can we be sure that remote employees are there when they need to be and are putting in like full effort and are accountable?
I really think that a remote work policy, it can outline the expectations for how we're working. But the employee performance review and goal setting outside of the policy, that should be where the real accountability is and is measured. So let me rephrase. So earlier, again, we were talking about the different elements of a remote work policy and outlining the expectations of how you're doing things, when they're going to be done, where to find things. All of those things help the employee, you know, navigate the road, should we say.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're actually getting the job done and being accountable and measuring that, that should be done in an employee performance review, and you should be setting goals with that.
Mm-hmm.
So on that side, I think when you talk about managers and leaders kind of feeling like, oh, well, how am I supposed to know whether my employees are getting the job done?
Yeah.
In my opinion, they're literally saying, well, we don't do goal setting, and we're not doing employee performance reviews, and we're not doing meeting one-on-ones, because those are the things that tell you how, if somebody's getting the job done. So
well,
you need to set KPIs. You need to set goals. Are you making 100 dials a day? Do you have a dashboard for that? Are you writing the articles? Are you doing the task? And we talked about the goals that you need to do. Like, you talked about professional development, going to 5 conferences a year and presenting, right? Did you do those things? That is really how you measure performance and measure accountability. I feel like a lot of times people get the policy and whether somebody is doing something a little bit mixed up.
Yeah.
And to me, the policy is clarification of how you do things and why we do things. And then how you measure performance is based on individual goals as well as company goals and measuring KPIs, key performance.
Mm-hmm. Funny enough, though, I've been thinking about performance reviews lately, and a lot of companies are moving away from performance reviews. It's another conversation.
Actually, in a remote workspace, meeting and talking about goals and having the discussion of your progression and how you're performing is 5 times even more important, because I don't get a chance to sit next to my manager. I don't get a chance to play golf with my manager and try to, you know, buddy up, or you know, to my team. And you know, you can't do those things. So in my opinion, I would say it's even more important.
So you talked about golf there for a second. There's so much energy and information exchange that happens when you're in person. How can a policy help ensure some of that still happens when you're remote?
I think setting the expectations for when you meet in person,
yeah,
versus when you meet virtually, and having a really good understanding of the different types of virtual meetings that you're going to have,
mm-hmm,
can make a huge impact in that idea of connection. So, you know, one thing that I firmly believe is that, and I think this is the challenge that people had with remote work, is you can't actually duplicate that energy. And what has happened is that individuals and companies are trying to take what they've done in office and then just try to bring that online.
Yeah.
And that is the wrong approach. You know, Andrea, we're not in the same location, right? We're having a good vibe. We've chatted. I'm feeling your vibe. But if I was just sitting in your room with you and didn't say one word the whole time, there would be something that we couldn't explain that bounced off of each other. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just us sitting there in total silence, working on something completely different, there's some sort of like energy bouncing off you that's bouncing, you know, bouncing off me that can't be replaced. So I actually believe that, I know it's not really answering your question directly. I think outlining when you're going to be in person is an intentional practice to making that in person and that energy great when you do that. So a policy that outlines when you meet in person, why you meet in person, that can help kind of keep your mind as a leader who's managing the meeting, understand why we're doing this thing. But from a context, just kind of like emulate that energy of in person. And I think that's the big question that all these companies are having. I've been advising people to admit you just can't, and it's okay. We can do a lot. We can get close, but we can't get the same energy. The question is, do you actually need?
Yes. Okay. Answer that question. Do you need that energy? Is that energy the reason so many organizations are going back?
I mean, do you need the energy? I think it's a tough thing to figure out, but like, I think there was an example. I had Gleb, I can crush his last name. I can't say his last name, a researcher on our show. And one thing that he said was that this one organization was having a challenge with innovation.
Yeah.
Went fully remote. Yeah. And they noticed that, and productivity was not down. So like, this is the kicker. Productivity was not impacted. Innovation was impacted. So they were like, look, we're just as productive working remotely. We're seeing our numbers. They're the same. But the creativity and the innovative things that we produced are not at the same numbers as they were before. So instead of just forcing everybody back to the office, Gleb went in there and they talked about like, well, what is it that you're specifically looking for out of the energy, you know, the energy that we're talking about? And they were like, well, it's just much easier to brainstorm and come up with these ideas together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that there's a lot of assumed connection between being in person and actually being able to brainstorm and actually have a thought, because like, you actually have to think by yourself to brainstorm. So what they ended up implementing is they ended up using ChatGPT for individuals to brainstorm ideas with AI. And then they would come to a virtual meeting together with some of these ideas already kind of fleshed out, because they had an AI. Because like, the whole idea is having this conversation back and forth to get you there. And that's what people want in person is, Oh, that's really cool. What about this? And then it bounces it back and it keeps it going. Well, with AI, you can actually have that back and forth discussion to spur some creative thoughts. So the innovation increased more than it ever did prior to the pandemic. They were shocked at how much innovation increased. So asking the question of, do we need the energy to produce the result, is a much better question versus, oh, we need that energy again. Because it's like, okay, did that energy actually have that impact, or did you just like it?
Okay, so what do we need to be talking about more with respect to remote, hybrid versus in-person work that we aren't talking about?
There's not enough conversation around social connections. I just really feel like people, individual contributors, managers, leaders, owners of companies, we're not all being true to why we really enjoy going into the office. The reason why we love the office is because we love seeing people. I mean, it is what it is. We like to be around other humans in general. We're a tribal species.
Yes.
You know, that's why when you see these festivals, right? There's hundreds of thousands. Burning Man, it's 100,000 people in the mud.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that? Because they love the music and they love the feeling and the energy.
Yeah,
that being around other humans is about. So if we know that remote work has all of these advantages, and we've experienced them all over the past 4 years, more access to talent, more control over my life as an individual, the ability to live anywhere, maybe in a more affordable place, the ability to be closer to my family, the ability to operate the company during a disaster. How about a disaster contingency plan? If every company was remote prior to the pandemic, when the pandemic happened, could you imagine how smooth the transition would have been, right? There's all of these unbelievable innovations. But what's the biggest challenge? Everybody goes to the biggest challenge. And what they usually say, a lot of leaders say, is culture. We're missing on culture. But that's not it. Culture is a very complicated term. There's so many things that go into culture.
Yeah.
What they mean is, connection. They miss that feeling of walking into the office, seeing people working together, seeing people have a coffee, shake hands. For a lot of people who are single, that's their only place to connect with other humans.
Yeah.
If we know that isolation and loneliness and collaboration are the biggest problems with remote work, why are we not addressing the connection piece? And why are we not designing the offices to be what they are? To me, the future office is like a bar. The future office is a bar with multiple breakout concurrent rooms, almost like a conference center to me is the future office. Like, let's come together. Let's not trip. Let's be real. I'm going to use a little slang. Like, let's not trip. Let's be real. Don't flake. You know you want to go to the office because you want to see your people. No one wants to go to the office to actually do focus work. Nobody wants to do that anymore. Like, heads down, focus work.
So true.
You don't go into an office and do it.
It's the worst place to be.
Nobody wants to write a book in the office. They want to be in a place that's conducive to themselves.
Yeah.
Focus and concentrate. Yeah. So to me, we need to talk all about connections. We need to talk about why connection is important, and we need to redefine the purpose of the office. That's what we need to think about. Right. I'm not going to the office to get an update. I'm not going to the office to do the physical work anymore. No, I'm going to the office to connect. We break down our connections into three types at Blend. So we say there's lifestyle connections, mountain biking, things that we like to do, hobbies. There's professional connections, right? Like, my peers, my mentors, my colleagues, associations, going to different meetings and doing that. And then there's one that people don't want to talk about, intimate connections. And people are like, why? What does the workplace have to do with intimate connections? Hang on now. I always like to ask this question in presentations. How many people in the room know someone that met their significant other at the workplace? Always. Everybody knows somebody.
Yeah.
If not yourself. So if you know this thing, and I'm not saying that we create date nights at the job.
No. Please no. The HR fun police coming out at this point in time. Oh my God, the disaster.
Oh, right. Like, you know that your team is young, maybe. There's a good chance that they're single. Maybe you should provide some resources for some things that they can do in their area and go out and meet other people, some meetups, some industry events, you know, some things that they can go out and actually make intimate connections. Also, religion is an intimate connection. We put that in there, as well as politics. It's really like a personal close thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you might be a liberal company that has, you know, really believes in a lot of things that may be on the more liberal side, but you may have some more conservative people that work there. So you want to think about that, right? Because they want to feel like that they belong too. It's just because their views might be different. You need to think about, okay, maybe we should provide some resources, you know, I don't even know, like maybe that there's a, you know, conservative for good group somewhere.
Something. Yeah.
Right.
So, can I just say though, can we not encourage, I've done so many investigations over romantic things gone bad that somehow let's limit that part of it. When they go bad,
They can go so bad, but the reality is they're always going to happen because when you ask that question, every company, every single person is going to know somebody. So it's just, from a remote work perspective, because isolation and loneliness is like the biggest
real thing.
Yeah. You just have to be aware.
Okay, we are running out of time. Final question here. Where can someone find you? Where can someone get more information about designing their remote work policy?
That's good. You can follow me on LinkedIn. Colleen Clarkson there, really really active on there. You can follow me. You can check out blendmeinc.com. That's blendmeinc.com. Uh-huh. We can help you there. You can submit a form. And, you know, I'm starting to do a little bit more on Threads. I'm not really on the other network there anymore. I'm doing a little bit more on Threads. Oh, and you can follow me on YouTube, trying to build the YouTube audience, like just like you.
Yeah. Okay. I'll put links to all of that in the show notes. Well, thanks, Kaleem. I'm thinking about that whole issue around social connection and using the in-person contacts to build social connection. However, we have reached the end of this episode. Thanks for listening out there, and we'll catch you next time when I talk with another insightful guest.